Sure. Well, I'm an organizer with the Free Gaza Movement, and the Free Gaza Movement was really basically the first group to organize to challenge Israel's illegal blockade on Gaza using a sea route. So in August of 2008, we sent two small fishing boats with activists from over 17 different countries, 44 people on these two small boats that sailed towards Gaza with the hopes of getting in. But in reality, we really didn't believe that we would get in. What we were trying to do was draw attention to the fact that Israel's closure of Gaza has nothing to do with security, as they always talk about. It's more collective punishment because, you know, our plan was we'd go. Obviously, we constantly go threat to Israel. We're on fishing boats. We have media with us. It's very public who we are. We're not hiding anything. And if Israel was going to block us, then it should be clear that their policy isn't about security because we don't constitute a security threat. It's about punishing the people of Gaza and keeping them isolated from the outside world. It was a big surprise and great elation to us that Israel decided not to intercept us, and we made it to Gaza on August 23rd, 2008. We were the first international boat to do so in over 41 years. And while many people were ecstatic and claiming that we had broken the siege, we realized we didn't break the siege. We overcame the blockade once. If we really were going to break it, we'd have to repeat what we did over and over again and get more people to do the same. And when we do that, we will have effectively opened a sea route to Gaza and thus broken the siege. So we organized a few more missions after that for a total of five successful missions that reached Gaza from August to December 2008. And then three more missions after that, after Israel's assault on Gaza, were violently stopped by the Israeli Navy. We didn't want to stop, obviously, our efforts to end the closure of Gaza, to break or end the blockade. But we realized we needed a different strategy, and so we started working to actively bring more people on board, and instead of sending one boat to Gaza, to send a fleet to Gaza. So since July 2009, we have been working on this, and we formed a coalition with other organizations around the world and pulled together this fleet that became known as the Freedom Flotilla. We believe just to summarize, the Free Gaza Movement has been doing it for a while and played a key role in pulling together this coalition to carry out this flotilla. And the flotilla, the actual boats that went, we were supposed to be nine vessels, but as a result of some technical issues, which we now all but have confirmed that it was the result of attempted sabotage by the Israelis, a few of our vessels were taken out of the picture for the time being. Ended up being six vessels, three passenger ships and three cargo ships that sailed to Gaza just a few days ago. As far as, you know, the larger context of why we're doing this, we firmly believe, although the Freedom Flotilla was carrying thousands of tons of humanitarian aid for the Gaza Strip, we don't even like to peg it as humanitarian aid because that's what Israel's policy is doing, reducing the people that live in Gaza to reducing them to a situation where they need this aid, and we don't want to perpetuate this cycle. Our message is that the Israeli policy vis-a-vis Gaza, deliberate policies that leave Palestinians in need of humanitarian aid, need to be challenged, to be ended, so that Palestinians can have access to the outside world, can have, when their human rights are respected, Palestinians are fully capable of creating, producing, exporting, importing, working, and building their economy in order to lead a life with dignity. From our very first mission, we tried to take all all scenarios into consideration, even the ones that seemed a little bit far-fetched. But just so people that were participating would realize that this is not an easy task or an easy mission that we're carrying out, and it is dangerous. Israel is perfectly capable and willing to use violence against unarmed civilians. So we discussed scenarios where we might be boarded, we might be arrested, people might be shot and killed, we might be held out at sea for days on end. We might be blown out of the water, sunk, etc. And we try to develop also scenarios for each of these things keeping in mind the goal of the mission, but also the safety and well-being of everyone on board. This kind of planning went into the very first mission and every mission after that, including this one with the Freedom Flotilla. One of the things, we can't control if Israel decides to use violence against us or not. The most that we can do is try to make it clear that there is absolutely no reason that Israel is not justified in any way in using violence against unarmed civilians. So we do that by being very public about who we are, trying to get as much media to cover what we're doing as possible, get media outlets on board, get checked at every port that we leave from, get the support of civil society around the world, from unions and parliamentarians and grassroots activists, so getting more people involved than just these ships, and making sure the world knows that Israel knows we are unarmed and we constitute no threat to them. Therefore, if they decide to stop us in the middle of this sea and use violence in order to do so, because we would not turn back just based on, you know, Israel's threats and intimidation. If they wanted to stop us, they have to use violence to stop us, then you know, Israel's policy would be exposed. And we hope that this kind of organization would put pressure on Israel not to use violence against these, you know, unarmed civilians aboard these ships. Well, from what I'm seeing, hearing, and talking to people, there is intense interest and focus on what has happened, and it's really unfortunate that it's because people lost their lives due to this unfortunate and very unnecessary use of force by the Israeli military. But we hope that at least, you know, Israel's policy to have been exposed a little bit. It was clear we didn't constitute any kind of threat to Israel. They tried at first to say that, you know, we had weapons on board, etc. A search of the ships will show you, and Israel now has even actually stepped back from that claim, because there were no weapons aboard any of our ships. We had aboard our ships reconstruction supplies and wheelchairs and medical equipment and toys for kids and school supplies. So there was no way they were going to get away with that claim that we were carrying weapons in any way. And the fact that they, despite repeated calls from different officials around the world, from us, not to use violence against us, they decided to attack our ships in the way that they did. And so they are being condemned, as they should be. They're being condemned for the actions that they took against the Freedom Flotilla. But at the same time, we feel what the real important thing is that there is a realization that Israel's policy vis-a-vis Gaza has got to end, and there have been strong calls from people around the world for Israel to end the blockade of Gaza, and that's what we think is very important. Again, we are devastated this had to come as the, you know, from the loss of lives and the violence that Israel carried out aboard these ships, but at least that has wakened up, opened the eyes of the world, and maybe awakened some of their conscience about what is going on, and that there will be now more sustained pressure and calls on Israel to lift this illegal, immoral, and very lethal blockade on Gaza.